Sermons at Westminster Presbyterian Church, an intentionally inclusive community of faith in Worcester, Ohio.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. And actually, it's interesting, some commentators will say, many sternly ordered him and said, "Shut up." But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This is the word of God. My sermon title today, Putting the Protest Back into Protestantism, that's a very difficult word. So if I say Protestantism, you know what I'm trying to say. But it is from a sermon, from an article by the church historian Diana Butler Bass in Pathos, entitled "Putting the Protest Back in Protestant," by Diana Butler Bass, as I said. Many of you has suspected it, and it is true, and that is that I am not a born Presbyterian. I'm a convert to Presbyterianism. That came to the church when I arrived in Houston, Texas, at St. Paul Presbyterian Church on March 15th, 1998. Now you know why we sometimes have tension. I was born into the Dutch Reformed Church in the little rural town of Ceres, South Africa, and was baptized in Ceres Valley congregation of the Dutch Reformed Church. But I know that I am not the only non-Presbyterian sitting in this space today. And therefore, I love Reformation Sunday, as today we celebrate our collective roots, never mind if we are Baptist, Dutch Reform, Lutheran, UCC, or Methodist, and we can go on. But then, there are the Mennonites among us, who according to their website, claims neither to be Catholic nor Protestant, but says it shares ties to both these streams of Christianity. So I have no idea what we're going to do with you all. Looking at our common roots found in the Reformation, when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses in 1570 in the church doors in Wittenberg, Germany, gives us the opportunity to reflect on the tradition that grounds our faith in an ever-changing world, as we as a people are constantly reforming, protesting, and living our faith anew in this world. In this reflection of today, I found the meditation of church historian Diana Butler Bass extremely valuable, as historians tend to look at long periods of time instead of just focusing on the here and the now and the immediate, and it gives us more perspective to face the challenges and the opportunities that we face as a church. Diana Butler Bass says the following: although the United States was a solid majority Protestant nation for most of its history, Protestantism has fallen on hard times of late, and she wrote this in 2013, the once commanding two-third Protestant majority has slipped, she says, to a bare 50% of the population, with many who are part of Protestant churches unsure of the meaning of the word, and I think that includes us. We don't really know what it means to be Protestant. The origin of our traditions, or the basic insights of Protestant theology. Many people eschew the term itself, favoring more generic religious language to describe our faith, wondering if a 500-year-old argument about Catholic theology and the Bible has anything to do with today's world. She says it strikes her as interesting that those who follow the teachings of the new reform movement did not come to be known as reformist. I mean, we don't refer to ourselves as reformist. Rather, she says, the moniker that struck was Protestant. Luther and his associates were protesters rather than reformers. They stood up against the religious conventions of the day, arguing on behalf of those suffering under religious, social, and economic oppression. These religious protesters accused the church of the day of being too rich, too political, too much enthralled to kings and princes, having sold its soul to the powerful. The original Protestants preached, taught, and argued for freedom, spiritual, economic, and political, and for God's justice to be embodied in the church and in the world. Therefore, she says, it is time to put the protest back into Protestantism. The heart of Protestantism is the courage, she says, to challenge injustice. And she says, to give voice to those who have no voice. And here I am disagreeing with this esteemed church historian, but we'll come back to this. Protestantism, open access for all people to experience God's grace and God's bounty, not only spiritually, but actually, and this is very important to our identity as Protestants, not only a spiritual world, but this world. The early Protestants believed that they were not only creating a new church, but that they were creating a new world, one that actually would resemble more fully God's desire for the whole of humanity. The original Protestant impulse was to resist powers of worldly dominion and domination in favor of the power of God's Spirit to transform human hearts and the whole of society. Protestants were not content, she says, with the status quo. They felt a deep discomfort within. They knew things were not right, and they set out to change the world. In the United States, however, she says, Protestantism has often been torn between the impulse to protest, the abolition movement, women's rights movement, and the civil rights movement, and the complacency of content by virtue of being the majority religion. After all, she says, if you are the largest religious group in a society, if you shape the culture, what on earth do you protest? Yourself? Protestant success in the United States has always been a bit at odds with the primary impulse of the faith to resist convention in favor of challenging injustice. Now, however, as part of a religious plurality and no longer the majority faith, Protestants can rediscover, she says, the courageous part of our identity too long hidden under a veneer of cultural success. And here is the challenge for us living in rural America, and this is Dries speaking. This, to me, is the challenge, living right here in Worcester, Ohio. As to me, as I see the religious landscape in Worcester, Protestantism is still the religious majority. A lot of church theologians and historians reflect on big cities and they don't enough take in mind rural America. Although our community is changing here in Worcester, we do not want to see it. And although we hear our minority speaking, we do not want to listen to them. And this is where I disagree with Diana Butler-Bass. The voiceless, or the so-called voiceless, actually do have a voice. It's just that we do not want to see them, and we do not want to hear them. Not because they don't speak loud enough. It is just that we choose not to listen to them, as we have the luxury to do that as a majority people. To me, this is nowhere so clear as in the debate surrounding the Confederate flag. And it serves to me as a perfect example, as the flag has been banned by numerous and many national organizations in retailers like Amazon and Walmart, and you can go on and on and on. As of lately, the flag has also been banned by NASCAR, who actually sees it as an offensive and divisive symbol. But not here in Wayne County. In a letter dated July 16, 2015, Virgil L. Strickler, CFE, General Manager of the Ohio State Fair, sent the following letters to vendors before the Ohio State Fair, saying, "The Ohio State Fair has long held a policy that prohibits the sale of merchandise that contains offensive wording, lettering, or graphics. As such, beginning with the 2015 Ohio State Fair, the sale or display of Confederate flag and or Confederate flag merchandise shall be prohibited. Any vendors found to be selling any items featuring the image of the Confederate flag will be asked to promptly remove those items." This is the Ohio State Fair. Although the Wayne County Fair started September 12th, the Worcester Orville NAACP president, Juanita Green, wrote a letter dated September 1st, 2015, asking the Wayne County Fair to follow suit and to prioritize the decision by the Wayne County Fair Board to prohibit vendors from the sale or display of Confederate flag and or Confederate flag merchandise, as all previous pleas from their constituency has fallen on deaf ears. And this is important. She wrote this letter before the Ohio County Fair, or the Wayne County Fair. She wrote the letter before that. Before that even, numerous people has called, including myself, and that please has fallen on deaf ears. I think personally, as a community, we need to ask ourselves why county fairs and small town festivals all of a sudden has become the last stop shop for Confederate flag merchandise and memorabilia. And let us not forget, then, in this context, why are we demanding to prohibit our vendors from the sell and display on Confederate flags and Confederate flag items? It came about after the racially motivated shooting of 9 African-American churchgoers in Charleston, South Carolina, earlier this year. So why is it then that we has become the last place for the sell and display of those items? That is a question that we, as people living in Wayne County, needs to ask ourselves. And I think there's multiple levels here for me that is important to take in consideration. A big part of our community of faith are students from the College of Worcester. I think it's so easy for us to just say, "I'm only here for 4 years," and not realizing that you can have a tremendous impact of the society that you live in right now. Do not for 1 minute think that life begins after college. Life begins right here, right now. And if you have any desire to make a change in the future one day, that desire starts here today. And for many of you, I know you've already implemented those desires within your life and work for change. For us as a congregation, our biggest challenge is that these decision makers, the people who actually have the power in Worcester, are our friends. We go to meetings, we go to breakfast, where we rub shoulders, so to speak. And it is very, very, very difficult to speak the truth to those in power. Diana Butler Bass says that on this Reformation Day, Protestant churches would benefit by starting a church-based protest movement. We would benefit by rekindling our roots. And here the story of Bartimaeus is so appropriate, as to me he captures the heart of Protestantism as he refuses to be quiet even though people told him to be quiet. That is hard for us, as we are so quick to fall into silence. In general, worried about offending or hurting feelings or being rejected by people. And so when people and power structures tell us to be quiet, we are so ready to listen to them. Then we listen to them. Then we oblige. But not Bartimaeus. No, Bartimaeus won't, because he is free. Free to defy his neighbors, free to call for help, free to make his needs known to Jesus of Nazareth. Free. Perhaps he suffered enough, or feels like there's nothing left to lose, or maybe he just doesn't care anymore, or perhaps he just sensed, or really sees. Maybe here the irony in the story is that the blind man really, really sees that in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, all the rules change, and he is no longer blind Bartimaeus. But instead, he is Bartimaeus, child of God. No longer can we as a community tell the chairperson of the NAACP, Juanita Green, that she is an angry black woman. No, because in the presence of Jesus, all the rules change. And no, she is not Juanita Green, angry black woman. She is Juanita Green, child of God. Whatever the reasons, Bartimaeus knows that he is free and sees his faith and his courage to live into that freedom. And Jesus says, that is what made him well. That courage, that is what made him well. This, to me, is the Protestant spirit. As one theologian comments, the Reformation is indeed about freedom. Reformation faith is forward rather than backward looking, evolving rather than static, at home in this world rather than in a previous age of a heavenly realm. In conclusion, I want to change some of the words of the Hannah Butler Bass. As he says, so Protestant friends, the world needs you. You are not only a quaint Presbyterian church on the campus of the College of Worcester. You are the heirs of those who once took to the streets to bring about God's reign here on earth. You resisted oppression. You stood for justice. Do that again, please. The world needs protesters. But to protest, we need to be able to hear the howls of the marginalized, the powerless, and the minorities that live within our midst. As allies, then, we need to let the so-called voiceless lead the way and allow them, those voices, to change our mainline pulpits, to change our mainline pews, to change our mainline thinking. What we need is to hear God's voice that all people are created in the image of God, that all people are worthy of respect, dignity, and opportunity. And if a flag offends the least of those within our community, or the people whom we see the least, if the flag offends the least of us, what is our responsibility as the majority? What is our responsibility as the mainline? That is something each one of us will have to figure out for ourselves. But I do invite you to stand with us, to join us in a movement to ask, and this is a simple thing, to ask our county fair not to sell the flag or memorabilia displaying the flag. Last Monday, some of us here at Westminster joined our partners at the UU, the NAACP, and other community members. And we asked the Wayne County Fair that. It's been a week now, and we've not heard back from the board. So we, I suspect, will need all of you to speak out for the least in the society. At that meeting, it was so humbling to me. Not humbling is not the right word. But there was a young black man from Atlanta standing in front of a predominant white county fair board, which I understand why, but pleading to them to realize that when he sees the Confederate flag, he sees it from a total different perspective. When he sees it, he's filled with fear. The irony in that statement to me was, isn't he the person we fear when we see a young black man in the street? And here, we allow fear to rule our world, fear to rule our community. As those who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to stand up against fear. Time for us to stand up against silence. Time for us to stand up as allies, to stand up for our fellow citizens and to say, we here in Wayne County is a welcoming, embracing society. Amen.
Thank you for sharing time with Westminster. You can learn more about our community of faith on our website at wpcworcester.org.